Sometimes the fun begins when the paved road ends. Chevy Silverado 2500 HD is made to work hard and play hard on the road or off. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com for details and experience life in HD.
I don't know about you, John. I'm a myth, not a legend.
I'm going to say this right now. I'll make it perfectly clear. I'm hot. I'm leaving. Good night. I mean, come on. Wait. Here we go. And why has it got to be so hot all the time?
Thank you, that's Ron Britton.
There's a little code right there. Yeah, a little code.
Hear from King B later. I don't know if I like hearing the golden age. Well, it seems like Chuck Shaden should come through the hall closet and start playing old Jack Benny shows here. Anyway, it's a special Friday night edition of the John Landecker Show.
No, it's not the John Landecker Show. The John Landecker Show does not appear usually on Friday evenings from 7 to 10.
It's for radio geeks only.
Well, it's usually Dave Plyer, but he's taking his daughter back to school. Well, that's what I heard.
I'm your guest team
disc jockey.
So here we are.
So no, this is his own thing. This is, what are we calling it?
For radio geeks
for radio
only.
Radio geeks only. Yes, right, yes, right.
And this is the latest. I've been up since my bar mitzvah. Yes, I am Bob Surratt, and am I live right now?
Yes, you are, Bob.
Are this you?
I believe all indications are that we are both live at this moment on WGN, yes.
Why didn't we do this program in the morning so I wouldn't have to come back to the station tonight?
Well, this is your idea, and you never said anything about doing it in the morning. We can't do this in the morning. You've got too many serious things to do in the morning. You've got all that traffic and the weather mm-hmm. and sports. Mm-hmm. What do we have here? None of that. Well, I mean, okay. We've got David in there, but we're not. It's not the. There's too much business in the morning to be able to pull this off.
Well,
you know?
People get up. They want to know if the world still exists. What happened in sports? What's the traffic? What's the weather? I would tell you what we're going to do here, checking our script, but there is no script.
That's right.
So we'll just say, and this is what you do when you have no script.
What is that?
You can call or text us tonight.
Oh, yes, indeed.
You're here until 10, 312-981-7200. I think you are just itching to read an old memo, aren't you?
It's a very appropriate memo to read at the beginning of the program. This is an actual WLS memo from Friday, July 28th, 1972. From the Scott Childers collection. Mm-hmm. As each of you know, we are in an audience measurement period.
Wait a minute. Who's this memo from?
Mike McCormick.
He was the program director.
Yes. Didn't he hire both of us?
No. I came later.
Tommy hired you.
You were there in 72.
Yes, I
came
was.
A little later. So this is a memo from the boss to all the disc jockeys at the time?
Yes, indeed.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, let's hear it.
I am trying to. As each of you know, we are in an audience measurement period. Excellence of performance is necessary from each of you daily. Without a 100% plus performance by the entire air staff, we will not realize our full potential. I am displeased at the overall sound of the radio station. Some of you may have surpassed your previous achievements. Others are coasting. Unfortunately, a Mayfield, Kentucky program director could detect this. Where did that come from? I mean, like, oh, man, not Mayfield, Kentucky. Please don't say that.
Meaning a small town boss would notice.
And I'm afraid our audience is also aware of poor and unprepared performances and the fracturing of the format. There is not. Nor will there be in any case any place on the WLS air staff for coasters. We are not coasters. There's more, but it gets too much into the minutia. Generally, you know, he was disappointed and some of us were coasting.
And what was your reaction to this? Did you change your act on the air?
No.
Well, as long as we're
not at all. I mean, you can't. Come on. Did you ever get a memo that actually made you change what you were doing?
Well, I don't have the actual memo in front of me, but I'll tell you. Right. Since this is now a feature called "For Our Eyes Only," confidential memo.
Yes. Oh yes.
One time.
Yeah.
I got this memo. We had a campaign. An anti-shoplifting campaign on the station.
These are real, by the way. These are not made-up memos.
And so a public service announcement was scheduled on the afternoon show that I was on about shoplifting and how terrible this is and our campaign and all that. And so when it came time to read that public service announcement, what I said, I'm supposed to read an announcement now about shoplifting, but I can't because someone stole it.
Well, that sounds perfectly normal. I mean, that's exactly
the man in charge of the station was not amused.
He was not amused?
No,
really?
No.
Oh, man. Also, what's the content of his non-amusement? What did he say to you in that memo?
Do not make fun of our campaigns. This is very serious.
Yeah.
And when you make light of it, you belittle our efforts.
It's shoplifting. Come on. I don't remember our campaign to stop shoplifting.
It was a very serious campaign. Don't make fun of it.
I won't say a word. In fact, I can't. I'll erase it from my memory completely.
Do you have commercials here in the nighttime?
There you go, Bob. You said you didn't know how this was going to work. You're down here in the nighttime. It's all sorts of strange. Well, almost nighttime. Bob Stroud, John Landeck. I got it. Before I go any further, though. I have some old business. We had that memo from Mike McCormick, right?
Your former program director.
Yeah, before you got there.
Yep.
Okay, now everybody's heard me say this a trillion times. I'm John Landecker. Records truly is my middle name because Records truly is my middle name. It's been said a scrillion times, but guess who doesn't like it? A lot of the program directors that I work for, okay? So I'm in Lansing, Michigan. I'm John Records Landecker. I get a job offer from a station in Philadelphia, WIBG. You're not John Records Landecker. You're Scott Walker. Okay, I'm Scott Walker.
Who told you to do that?
The program director.
And he thought the name was fake? John Records
there
Landecker?
There was never any consideration of that being used. As a matter of fact, he was fired, and he called me over to his apartment. And he said, Scott, what do you want to do next? And I said, well, you know, I want to go back on the air as John Records Landecker. He said, you know, that'll never work. Why don't you just go to a media market and get it out of your system? Anyway, so I went on this station there, the same station as John Records Landecker, and then I get hired at LS. And he says, don't use the middle name. I'm like, what's going on here? I was using it there. You knew it when you hired me, and now I'm not using it?
And it's your name.
Not to mention, it's my name. So the moment... Oh, and he also got into... I'm into this story. I guess I'm going to go. He also got into some sort of a power play with the Warner Brothers Records and Derek and the Dominoes, Layla, and School's Out by Alice Cooper. And he didn't play those. He was in a bar in Arlington Heights and heard Happiest Girl in the USA by Donna Fargo one night and went, hey, that's what we should play. And I'm like, okay. So there I am, no middle name. Zippity-doo-dah-day. It's the Happiest Girl in the whole USA. And he gets fired. So WDAI or whatever they were calling themselves at that time was one floor below. And I went down there and got a copy of School's Out and Derek and Layla. I went on as John Records Landecker and played those two songs back to back to back to back to back to back. I don't know, maybe for an hour.
On the AM station?
Yeah.
Then what happened?
A lot of listeners. And then this guy, Bob Surratt, showed up from BBM-FM or wherever he came from. And J.J. Jeffrey was there. And the whole thing went absolutely bonkers in a good way.
I got there in the summer of 73.
Yeah.
By the way, yes. I neglected to mention this at the top of our broadcast. Thanks to the Air Force Thunderbirds for the sonic booms in honor of our special tonight. The WGN promotion department really going above and beyond to work that out.
Did you ever go to Fred Winston's apartment in Lake Point Tower?
I think one time.
For the Air and Water Show?
Yes.
And remember seeing the jets going by yep. so close to his apartment you could like literally see into the cockpit.
And I remember. Didn't you have you weren't there. You were at McClurg.
I was at McClurg, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Those were different parties.
Yeah, I kind of remember. It's a statute of limitations.
Go ahead. Say whatever you want.
We will play between now and 10 p.m. Some very amusing audio from our dumpster of memories. We will hear Ron Britton.
One of our
favorites.
We bonded over Ron Britton.
On WCFL.
Mm-hmm. From different directions. You are here. Mm-hmm. I'm over in Michigan going to college. I hear him. You listen. We get together here. It's like, is there anything better? No.
He's the greatest.
He's the greatest.
Some of those jingles that he played on WCFL were also the greatest. We'll play those.
Right.
We also found something you and I did on the radio.
Oh, my God.
One afternoon that involved me, and you did the narration as I, using my motorcycle, jumped over a pond?
Of disco ducks.
Yeah, that's it.
Now, you know, one of the stations I was told by somebody years later that what we did was capture the zeitgeist. I said, what? You captured the zeitgeist of that era. Okay. So I interpret that to mean like, so Jaws is a hit, right? Mm-hmm. So I do this big elaborate skit where I'm eaten by a shark live on the air, right? Mm-hmm. Happy Days is a hit. So you and I go out and put on leather and get a picture taken.
Yes, we posted that on social media.
I know. On motorcycles.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then you did a bit where you did a motorcycle jump. All in the name of capturing the zeitgeist.
That's what we did.
We did.
Back in the early days of the, he was on through the 60s on LS and then also on CFL a little bit, Ron Riley.
Yeah.
And I talked to him the other day. You'll hear that conversation and also a conversation we had with him a few years back where he talked about emceeing the first Beatles concert in Chicago at Comiskey Park.
Yeah.
Spike Odell. Remember Spike Odell?
Absolutely.
We thought we would sort of widen out a little bit not just focus on ancient history.
Yeah. Well, it's
so we'll talk to Spike later.
Although most of it, even if it's not that ancient, is sort of semi-ancient.
Yeah.
So, remember Dan Pilato?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, I was at LS when I was in the toilet.
You know, Dan produced Steve Vidal for a long time.
Yeah, but that was good. But I'm talking about when it was bad. Okay?
Uh-huh.
And I'm there, and it's really bad. And one day, Pilato comes in with Spike Odell.
What?
Hey, yeah.
Spike was visiting?
No, he wanted to meet me.
Uh-huh.
I guess he had come from the Quad Cities or Stereo Cities or what Circuit City or whatever they are.
That's right. He was working at Circuit City. That's exactly right.
And, so he'll probably recall that, I would think.
Well, we'll ask him. We'll ask him.
Oh, man. I don't know if I'm going to be able to make it till 10 o'clock. This is just way too much fun.
And also, I have a great story. We shouldn't forget our colleague here at WGN Radio who's on Saturday night with Johnny Steve King.
Oh, my God, yes.
Who was on...
After me.
That's right, at 10 at night.
Yes, that's right.
And Steve and I worked together at BBM-FM.
Now, you got to make it clear that that's BBM-FM... Way back
when they played rock music,
you were doing mornings, didn't
you? I was a here's what happened. They hired me to one summer be the fill-in vacation person, and at the end of the summer, they had an opening in the morning because they had been automated the Young Sound with just tapes, and they were going live. So they figured, well, we'll give this guy the morning show. He's like 21, and he's not really good.
He can't break anything.
Nobody has FM in their car, so nobody can listen in the morning. So give him the morning show. So I did the morning show. Steve King did the afternoon show at BBM FM.
Right.
They went from the Young Sound to Stereo 96. And actually, we played some good music.
Yes, you did. I think I met you then.
Yes.
Because my apartment was right next door to the studios.
That's exactly right.
And I met you before you even came over to LS.
Yeah, that was in like 71, 72.
You'd be in the apartment denying everything that was offered to you.
Exactly, as I still am. So Steve was doing the afternoon, and he's an Elvis fan, a big Elvis fan.
Oh, boy, is he ever.
And we were talking about this morning because it's Elvis Week in Memphis because tomorrow is the anniversary of his death. He died on August 16th, 1977, 48 years
ago. That's right, yeah.
So Steve King, huge Elvis fan. Mm-hmm. And remember, Channel 7 used to run local movies in the afternoon. And
did?
Yeah, they did at 3:30. They had the 3:30 movie. And the week, and I kid you not, but I don't lie. The week of the 3:30 movie Elvis week, when they played all Elvis movies on Channel 7, Steve King, who worked in the afternoon, he took the week off so he could watch.
Couldn't record it. There's no way to record then. You got to do what you got to do, right?
Yeah.
So speaking of got to do what you got to do.
Oh, smooth, John. Very smooth.
Well, thank you. You know, some things I have picked up over the years. It's bottom of the hour. Time to get into the WGN newsroom. See how that worked? Okay.
Oh, excellent.
That's excellent.
Yes, John and I are doing this again in spite of popular demand.
That's right.
Ron Reilly was arguably the most popular disc jockey in Chicago and one of the most popular DJs in America from about 1963 or 4 until about 1970.
Was he part of the original lineup? At LS?
He came a little bit later.
Okay.
A little bit later. And he was on in the evening before Dick Biondi.
Oh, wow.
Right before.
Wow.
And he had a famous feud.
Oh, with Clark Weber.
That's right.
Hold on. A friend of mine. Reilly Rebel Raiders or Weber Commandos.
That's right. And he eventually did TV in Baltimore. He was a weatherman.
Right.
He did Bowling for Dollars.
Yeah.
But we remember him in Chicago, and we caught up with him a couple of days ago. He's 91 now.
Bless his heart.
Listen to this. And of all your great memories of Chicago, which ones stand out all these years later?
Oh, boy, that's a tough one, my friend. There were so many good ones and so many great people and so many newies, you know, people coming out and all of a sudden pop, and you had someone there that's going to get you a great opportunity to just get to the people. Mm-hmm. But I think if I have to say about anybody I really liked and remembered was Batman.
No, you were
Batman and Robin.
Yeah, they flew you out to appear on an ABC episode of the Batman, didn't they?
Yeah. But there were so many great people and so many newies and starters. It just boggled the mind. But we had such a great time at the time.
Ron, what has surprised you over the years when you hear from your old fans? Because you always do, don't you?
I do, and I'm surprised they still mention, we're all getting older as time goes on, and you would think you'd fade into the dust. But I think that segment of music really hung on for a lot of people throughout their lifespan and possibly into others as time went on.
Mm-hmm. How did your time in Chicago lead to many other jobs over the years? Because your connections here lasted a long time in a way, didn't they?
They did. And I really was in the dumps for a long time trying to get to Chicago. So I worked at a lot of smaller stations in Wisconsin and areas of Illinois, And finally, one day when I was at a station in Madison, Gene Taylor called, who is the program director of WLS at the time, and he said, "Ronnie, can you be here tomorrow?"
Wow. and you did in a hurry, didn't you? You moved fast. But then, then over the years, I know you worked in TV in Baltimore, and it seemed like you were always getting hired by people who remembered you from your days in Chicago, right?
Oh, absolutely. You know, I was in, at a time, and boy, you already a kid. I'm still getting, would you believe it? I'm still getting feedback every so often from people or their children who have some kind of map or something on the wall. And the beat goes on. It's breathtaking, when it does happen.
What do you remember about your first night on the air in Chicago? Do you recall?
Wet pants.
I wasn't sure what you said there. I get it.
Yeah, absolutely.
How long did it take before your pants dried out?
Well, I'll tell you, I kind of grew into everything, and it was more of a, it was more of a wake up to me than maybe some kids, because that was the first time I was able to get there and really get on the air and see what other people were doing on the other side, and it was really wonderful. At that time, because we were all, learning, and it was growing, and the whole thing of all of us guys, we were doing really well. I happened to be in the nighttime setting around the air, so I got out too and did a lot of the record hops, and it was just an unbelievable experience for me, that's for sure.
What can you tell us about the documentary being produced about you? Do you believe that they're doing a movie about your life and your career?
Yes, I heard about that. And, Bradley is a fellow who's doing it, Bradley Stahl. I got a little information on it. And, of course, they're picking my brain on stuff. And I think it's going to take a little time, but it might be really interesting to see what happens to myself this time of my life.
And Ron, what do you want to say to the fans listening right now who remember you, remember Bruce Lovely, they remember your feud with Clark Weber, you remember you interviewing the Beatles, and you being in Batman? People still have their Ron Reilly Batman cards. What's your message to those people who still remember you fondly today?
Oh my God! I don't know. I mean, it's bewildering, because I'm still getting feedback from certain people. Aren't you the guy who, and it is some lady with white hair come over, which is just wonderful. So I don't know actually anybody else, at least in my reach, that could continue with all of their, the information that we have had for all these years, and people still coming up to you and saying something. And I'm long ago Chicago, long ago Milwaukee, long ago, all of this. And, I've been in other places, and I just marvel at WLS always comes back as a memoir of somebody, a landmark where they grew up on, or they heard of, or their father was like that. How do you measure that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's wonderful. And the answer to the question, where is he now? Ron Reilly is living happily ever after with his wife in the Northeast still. You've been there for a long time, haven't you?
Yeah, pretty much so. We have, and, you know, we were still holding friends and nearby, and you know, enjoying this portion of our life between Linda, my wife, and I, and we have a lot of friends, and we even talk about the Beatles once in a while.
Well, we'll never forget you in Chicago, that's for sure, Ron Reilly.
Oh, thanks. That was just a amazing wake up for me. You know, it was unbelievable that all this stuff would come together, and it's a jaw dropper.
Well, it's great to hear your voice again. You've done well for a guy who only wanted to be the next Dick Biondi.
You got it, man. It was, you know, it's just gone way beyond that. I couldn't believe that it really did. I'm still getting people once in a while talking and, you know, remembering, and it just something that happens rarely, I think, and in the rock and roll industry. But you guys are doing well out there, and I wish you good luck and everybody having a very good time this time of the year.
Thank you, Ron Reilly. Great to talk to you. 91 years old.
Yeah.
And we'll hear more from him a little later. He talks about emceeing the Beatles concert here in Chicago at Comiskey Park. And on the text line, people remember.
That, yeah, great. I mean, I remember as a 9-year-old on Pine Grove Avenue listening to Ron Reilly and Clark Weber's feud. As a kid, I was glued to the radio each evening listening to Ron. Here's the one. I was a fan of Ron Reilly's and a member of the Batman Club.
Yeah, those cards are still around.
I've seen those.
Text line is 312-981-7200.
And there's pizza downstairs. We'll be right back.
It's for radio geeks only. That's what this is, isn't it, John?
It certainly is. As people can tell, we live up to the title. I must say, we say we're radio geeks, and doggone it. If you're listening, you're turning to each other and saying, you know, they really are. That's us, and it's maybe you, too.
You know, I'm looking at some of these nice texts that are coming in, and this one from somebody out in Arizona enjoying the memories out here, Judy and Zach, and it reminds me, this radio station, like the one we were on in the 70s, nighttime, it blasts out all over the country.
That was the deal.
And now this radio station has the best signal in Chicago. Other stations have done things,
yes,
sold transmitters, moved to different locations. Yeah. Not us.
No, no.
Not us at WGN.
No, no, no. WGN, you know, turned it on 100 years ago, and it's still on.
And the guy that turned it on is still there.
He's in the other room right now.
And so, because of that, and because we have a lot of transplanted Chicagoans listening everywhere online now,
yes,
I should use the line that Wolf Blitzer lines. Hello to our audiences here and around the world.
Indeed, yes.
We being Bob Surratt and John Landecker, as seen in today's Chicago Tribune, Robert Chanik doing a story on this very program tonight, this special. It's in the business section of the Trib and online. But I have a couple problems with this.
Wait, it's in the business section?
Yeah, here it is. Did you see it?
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that. I was looking online. I didn't realize it was in the... I don't think I've ever been in the business section.
Well, you are now, on the front page of the business section. Okay, so see this nice color photograph of the two of us?
I do.
Since when are you a foot taller than me? Were you standing on a box?
No, you're right. I never really paid any attention to that. I'm not a foot taller. I'm like a half a head taller.
Control room Jack, take another picture of the two of us tonight and make sure we're the same height, and it will replace this picture.
You might need to bring in a little box for Bob to stand on before we do that.
The other problem I have, the headline here, right next to our picture, it says, Radio geeks will revisit Chicago's Top 40 heyday on WGNAM. Like, we're the two radio geeks.
Well,
what is
we
that?
Are.
Oh, yeah.
But we are the two radio geeks.
I guess you're right.
You started this whole thing, and now he looks in the newspaper and he wants to complain about it. Hey, Bob, this is all you're doing. And I want to remind you, you're at work.
Thank you. I needed that. While we go down for pizza in a couple of minutes and then bring it back up here, because this is the supper club tonight, not the breakfast club.
Don McNeil's supper club?
Yeah, we do the breakfast club in the morning. This is the supper club now. And while we're doing that, we will continue to look at your texts and possibly take a call or two. And we should also mention... as we said, Spike Odell is going to join us, and we'll talk to Spike. And, of course, he has fans from his days before WGN.
That's right.
In the Quad Cities.
That's right.
And we wanted to sort of broaden this out. In fact, if we ever do another one of these specials, why not have Steve Dahl on? Why not? You were at the Loop, too, later.
Sort of.
But why not include folks who grew up with the Loop?
Yeah.
If you're of a certain age, you grew up with LS and CFL.
If you can find Brandmeier, good luck.
I can find him. I don't know whether we can get him on.
Yeah.
But shouldn't we do that?
Sure.
If we do another one of these?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Why not?
And maybe some music people?
Oh, you mean like the old record? Do you mean the ones we did at LS?
No, I'm talking about maybe some people who are in local bands.
Oh, I thought maybe you thought, you know, like I had to bring in a six-pack of beer for Alice Cooper I could do that music people.
That was an interview series that ran Sunday nights.
Yeah, that's what I thought you were
referencing. We all participated.
Yeah.
That reminds me of a story that I forgot to tell the last time we got together. Do you remember kidnapping Elton John?
No.
We went to a party.
Wait a minute. Hold on. That's a tease.
Oh.
The story of how Elton John was kidnapped. Part of tonight's radio for geeks only. But right now, let's see. Yeah, what the heck. Time to get into the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on 720 WGN. John Landecker, Bob Surratt, 720 WGN Radio, Geeks Only, standing by for Spike Odell. But first, we must return to find out the exciting ending of the premise of that was set up before the top of the hour when Bob said, "Do you remember when we kidnapped Elton John?" And I said, "No."
Well, you were at the event. It was a party because he had a new record out, and so there's a cocktail party. And I think it was in that building where Arnie's used to be. Do you remember that? Newbury Plaza, somewhere around there.
Oh, yeah.
So we're all at the party, and we want Elton John to be part of the Music People interview series we all participated in. But it was crowded and noisy, and we didn't know what to do. So we thought, wait a minute, one of our sales people, they have a condo in this building.
Ah, nice.
And a recorder. So if we can get Elton John upstairs to his apartment, we can do the interview. So somebody lured Elton.
I've never heard this story.
Simon T.
Simon,
remember the salesman?
A salesperson,
we lured
yeah.
him into his apartment. I don't know under what premise.
You
but
know,
anyway.
I don't think we want to know.
And so then I find myself sitting on the couch with Elton John talking
to
him.
No.
And the whole time I'm talking to him, and the interview's okay, but he's looking around as we're talking for somebody to get him out of this. And fortunately, it took him about 20 minutes to make eye contact with one of his people who realized he was missing, came up to rescue him. But we had the interview and played it. And that's the night we kidnapped Elton John.
How it is that all these years have gone by, I've never heard that story, and I was downstairs in that same building at the same party. Oh, no. Now I know why I don't know. Never mind.
We wanted to modernize this edition of For Radio Geeks Only and include the 80s and WGN and Spike Odell.
Hey. Hello, you geeks.
Hey.
Hi, Spike. Hey, how you doing?
I got to tell you guys, I love this segment. I went back and listened last week. I just think it is so cool. I mean, there are geeks on both sides of the microphone. I mean, us, we're geeks, because we yap into a microphone. But people listen to radio geeks because a lot of them follow everything everybody does.
Yeah.
So it's really cool that you guys came up with this idea to let people take a peek behind the curtain. Really?
Really? That's Bob. Yeah. Bob, this is all Bob's doing, by the way. So.
Well, as I said to the general manager here recently, when I realized I had to do the morning show and the nighttime show tonight, whose idea was this? And then she reminded me. Spike, we're hearing from people on the text line, and not only WGN listeners, but Quad City folks.
Oh, really? Okay. Hi, guys.
Yeah, you were there, weren't you?
Oh, buddy. You know, matter of fact, in the Quad Cities, I'm not known as Spike Odell. I was known as Spike at the mic. Uh-huh. I don't know how that happened, but everybody just called me Spike at the mic.
It's very catchy. I like it.
Didn't you use that on GN as well, a little bit?
No. When I came to GN, Dan Fabian sent me down, and he says, you're in Chicago now. We're all grown up. You're going to use your last name. I heard your story about John Rickards.
Yeah, Glenn Decker. Yeah.
So they want to tell you who you are and who you should be. No, that's who I am. But anyway, I figured I just got a gig, so I better go with it.
You know, it worked out well.
Here you go.
That's all right.
Spike,
yeah.
Listener text. We were from Moline, Illinois High School, but everyone in the Quad Cities listened and loved Spike.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was on for a couple of years at KSTT. Some legendary call letters for a 1,000-watt directional radio station. A lot of big names came out of that station. And then I went to Kick 104, which was a huge FM station, 100,000 watts. You could hear us in Minnesota. You could hear us in Missouri. And we played every gymnasium donkey basketball game between here and there.
And how was it, because you were playing rock and roll, so then when you get to WGN and you're talking, how was the transition for you?
It sucked.
You mean you weren't, you know, that shocks me. You were not doing any kind of talk before you came here?
Well, I did, I think that's why they hired me, because I did a lot of bits, I did a lot of phone. I was on the phone half, I shouldn't say that. I played the hits half the time, the phone the other half the time.
Gotcha.
And did a lot of little bits, you know, here and there. And I think that's what, I think what got their attention in Chicago is that we just killed everybody down there. We had like 25 share.
That's big, folks.
The closest one next to us was like 8.
That's big time radio numbers. That's ratings. Yeah. That's money. Yeah. That's cash. That's Spike.
If you want to hear a lot of your favorite Spike moments, hang on, because there's a way to do that now. And Spike will tell us about that.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. And first we have some business to take care of.
Yes, we'll be right back on 720 WGN. You know, people say, what's Spike up to these days? We're going to find out right now. Hey, Spike, what are you up to?
I'm the poster boy for doing nothing.
And you do it in Tennessee, right?
Yeah, Tennessee. That's what my son always says. My dad's the poster boy for doing nothing. Oh, I stay busy. I like to paint pictures. I've written a book. I chase grandkids around to every soccer field in Middle Tennessee. So I stay busy.
And what is the new deal you've got going where you have posted some of your old audio? How does that work? What's going on?
Oh. Are you talking about the Now You Know?
Yeah.
I used to do a bit. You know, you'd like to come up with little bits, little hooks. I mean, you guys all had hooks, and Boogie Check and BS. You just got hooks to keep people listening to you. So I came up with this little stupid thing where I would throw out a useless piece of information or a trivia piece right at the beginning of the show, and you never knew when I was going to ask you to call back. Be caller number 7-591-7. And I would unload Wally's prize cabinet on you.
Nice.
So I would try to come up with the stupidest thing. I said that about a month and a half ago, at the house here, and my boy was there, my son Michael. And after I said something, I said, "Now you know," which was the big ending to the bit. And he says, "I remember that, Dad." I said, "You do?" He says, "Yeah, that was the stupidest thing I ever heard in my life." And then he paused for a second. He said, let's revive that.
Hmm. Oh.
He's the IT guy, so he puts it all together. I come up with a stupid piece of information. He puts it together. I post it every day. And I don't have any prizes this time, but it's just kind of a fun way to stay connected with everybody.
You post it where?
On Facebook.
Do you put it on YouTube?
No, it's not on YouTube. It's just on my... if you go to Spikes, Now You Know.
Okay.
It will be there.
When I saw some of the comments after you announced you were going to do this, I thought, well, we got to get Spike on our little geek special here, because people... Well, to say they remember you is an understatement. They love you, Spike.
Well, thank you. I heard you guys talking about the connection with the audience. I didn't really think about that until I was gone for a while. Mm-hmm. And then it really kind of hit me that, you know, you really get connected. And it's kind of touching in a way. I don't want to get all soupy and sobby, but it just, I really miss that part.
Well, I totally relate to what you're talking about. Because it didn't dawn on me. I didn't have the realization of how deeply things that we were doing on the radio affected listeners until literally decades after they were over. And
exactly.
I would be somewhere, let's say, I'm in a grocery store or whatever, and somehow my name comes up, and boom, I'll get
exactly.
somebody with a absolutely fantastic memory, word for word, something that happened. I mean, that was a long time ago. Yeah,
to remember a bit.
And they still remember, and they love it.
I've had a couple of people say to me, Spike, you said something on such and such a day about this subject, whatever it was, and it was a life-changing moment for me. It changed my life.
Right.
And I have no clue. I don't even remember it.
Right.
But for some reason, it changed their life, so... Yeah, radio is powerful, whether we think it is or not.
Yeah, it's the human voice, and also certainly for me and for John. I don't know about you, Spike, because you came later, but back in the 70s, no cable, no VCR, no DVR, no DVD, no video games, no smartphones. So we had less competition, let's face it.
No real FM
right.
either.
Slice of the pie was much bigger back in our day, and now it's much smaller. There's 1,000 different places to go to get entertained.
Yeah, that's right. FM didn't really come into its own until later.
Nope.
And I mentioned going from BBM FM to LS. I had to do that. I had to go to AM to afford an FM in my car.
Now, wait a minute. You want to know the real story that I finally heard from Tommy Edwards?
What's that?
That I had absolutely no idea of? Okay. We just said there was no real FM. Well, FM started to make an inroad, okay? It started to show up in the ratings.
In the early 70s, right?
And so Tommy Edwards and whoever was programming goes, we have to get one of the major personalities from an FM station and have him come over here, because that'll help stop the tide of listeners going to the FM. And lo and behold, bingo, here comes Bob Surratt from BBM FM. That was the reason. There you go. And now you know the rest of the story. Thank you.
No. And now you know. No.
And now, you right. And you now you know. Thank you.
Well, one of the highlights of my career was hearing that Spike Odell liked my interview with Paul McCartney. I heard Spike talk about it.
Well, I don't know if you remember this or not, but we talk about being geeks on both sides of the microphone. I was a geek long before I even thought about working on the radio. I actually recorded your show, Bob, and your show, John, and I think I sent those shows to you, and I just did it in the fashion, I scoped it all down, and I said, this is what you sound like in East Moline, Illinois.
You're under arrest, Spike.
I remember meeting you. Dan Filato brought you into the studio. Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah. Oh, Filato, where's he at?
I'm not sure.
I'm not either. I haven't heard from that guy in a long time.
Spike, before we let you go, people are texting about this, so you got to at least comment on it. It had to be the toughest moment, not just of your broadcast career, but of your life, when you had to go on and break the news about the death of Bob Collins, right?
Yeah, it actually was. It was. And I'll tell you guys, to this day, I don't know why it seemed like I was always on the air when something major happened. You know, the towers of New York, the Oklahoma City bombing, Mayor Washington dying, Bob dying in a mid-air collision, and going on the air and telling everybody that. But to this day, I have not heard a lick of audio from that day. I don't want to hear it.
Man, I don't blame you.
I don't want to hear it.
Yeah.
I know there's a lot of it out there.
They have to relive it.
Mm-hmm. Some radio specials about that day, but I won't listen to it. I don't want to hear it.
Well, you did a masterful job, and it's another reason why you connected with your audience, Spike.
Well, thank you, buddy. I appreciate that. I will tell you, I was numb. I didn't know what was going to come out of my mouth, and I just thought, you know, everybody's broken down. They're in tears. They're just sobbing. I said, somebody's got to take control of this, you know.
Uh-huh.
Somebody's got to just tell everybody, yeah, it's sad. We're crying, but we're going to be okay.
Yeah, and we're in it together. I was on the air the afternoon Elvis died. I was also on the air the day Mayor Richard J. Daley died. And I died on the air about three times a week.
Yeah. Well, that's a different show. Yeah. Yeah.
That's right. So the answer to the question, where is he now? Are you near Nashville? I forgot, Spike.
Yeah, I live in Brentwood, Tennessee, just a little south of downtown Nashville.
Have you ever heard of Mayfield, Kentucky?
I heard you guys say that earlier.
Oh, I just, okay, wonder.
Yeah, I got a good friend that used to live in Mayfield,
see?
Kentucky. It's just right up
there.
Yeah,
you go.
He used to work on a radio station.
A program director in Mayfield, Kentucky, could tell that you guys suck. See, there you go.
Hey, get me some fresh Google clusters up here, would you, Spike?
Oh, baby, I was just down there the other day where they make them, Chattanooga.
Oh, man, those are great. You can get them around here, but sometimes they're not fresh.
Yeah, well, yeah, that's because we're south of the Mason-Dixon line. It takes a while for the railroads to get up that far.
Are you still doing ham radio?
Yes. Matter of fact, I just talked to a guy in Antarctica the other day.
And how was the president? Oh, I'm sorry. No, that's Alaska. You talked to a guy in Antarctica.
Yeah, he was at a Brazilian atmospheric research station, and I talked to him at Antarctica.
Now, wait. There's Brazilian atmosphere in Antarctica?
Well, yeah, the Brazilian scientists, they go down there and they study the ice, you know, the ice caps, the atmosphere, all that stuff.
Yeah.
You know, every country's got a camp down there, and I just got into the Brazilian one.
Awesome. Yeah, I've always thought about ham radio, and I've been following you, and you're really into it. I've seen pictures of your equipment, and it's got to be fantastic.
I never thought I would ever do this. I was just, one day I just thought, you know what, there are days you kind of miss being on the air after five or 6 years, and I thought, you know what, I always had kind of liked ham radio, amateur radio. Let me see what it takes to study for a license. 753 questions I had to learn.
Wow.
I got them.
You know, the thing is, that just strikes me the similarity. We talk about WLS, WGN at night, hitting the ionosphere when it's cold and coming down in all sorts of different wild locations that you wouldn't expect. But what you're doing is pretty much the same thing, only on a much grander scale. And you don't rely on the atmosphere.
Yeah, with a lot less power.
Yeah, and you're talking to people like around the world.
Around the world. I only use about 1,500 watts. So,
wow.
That's what I use, yeah.
I'm waiting.
Hey, before you guys go, I just want to let you know, I worked at WGN for 22 years, and I'm extremely jealous. I heard the jingles you have at WGN. Where did you guys get jingles?
Why don't we get him one?
Yeah,
we should get Spike a jingle.
Yeah,
well, we can do that.
Yeah,
So
I'll speak to the man.
Jingles at WLS. I had to manufacture my own, and it sounded like I was in the back room of a Jiffy Lube. When I just wanted somebody to go, Spike, oh, down.
We'll get it.
No.
Write that down.
Our grand, high, exalted, mystic ruler, the supreme allied commander of the station, loves jingles. He's responsible for our jingles. We'll talk to him. Yeah. We'll get you one.
Yeah.
And, Spike, let us know when your wonderful paintings will be displayed at the Louvre, okay?
I've got to get out of the way for that because Beyonce is... got something she's showing there before me. So when she's done, I'll probably go in there.
Hey, great talking to you, Spike. Everybody loves you. Don't forget that.
Thanks, Mike.
Love you guys. You guys are geeks. Keep this up.
Yes, thank you, fellow geekish. It's the bottom of the hour. Time to get into the WGN newsroom.
Somewhere in the mid-70s, there was a big CBS special. Evel Knievel was jumping over the Snake River Canyon on his motorcycle, and the special was hosted by Telly Savalas and Jill St. John. And one afternoon on the radio, I decided to duplicate this feat, and John, you came in a little early before your 6 o'clock show to host. Remember?
Yes. He's going to jump over a vast amount of... ducks?
Yeah, Rick D's Disco Duck.
Oh, well, yeah, Rick D's Disco Duck was a big hit, so we got a whole canyon of disco ducks.
The music sounds best on WLS.
WLS, where tonight John Landecker gives away the number one album in Chicago, Hotel California. When you hear the music radio touchstone, well, it has come. My appointment with destiny.
Yeah, yeah.
John,
I want you to know that this is just a little bit behind the times, Bob.
Well, you went into a tank last night.
I was in shark-infested waters last night. I did not let down the media that had gathered here at the station from the four corners of the earth and the many people who had come by to see me do this. I was not injured. I did what I said I was going to do.
Well, at 2 o'clock this afternoon, I attempted, as you can see, my motorcycle back here.
Mm-hmm.
And at 2 o'clock this afternoon... I took the motorcycle up over this tank of disco ducks that we have here in the studio and crashed into a retaining wall. So I'm going to try this again now, and if you can, I'd like you to sort of describe what happens as I do this.
As you attempt to once again leap over the tank of disco ducks, or pond, I suppose, is a better... Our studio is so confined here, I think pond would be a... more appropriate description
yes.
of its size.
I would just like to point out that I have taken some precautions this time. As you can see, I have immersed my entire body in Clearasil for this jump. This will help prevent any blemishes should I hit that retaining wall again as I did at 2 o'clock. So, I'm going to go back here to the motorcycle.
Okay, now, so what kind of cycle? I got to admit, I am not a greaser of any...
Don't you know what this is?
No, I want to...
This is my Honda 305, a touring bike. It's called a Dream, 1967 model.
What's the function of the rubber band and the propeller?
Well, this will help me to get over the tank.
Okay, I see.
These are very, very
vicious.
Dangerous.
I want to tell you, these disco ducks, I understand these were flown in from Florida, and one of them died on the way here.
Yes, Rick Dees, the keeper of the disco ducks, was in charge of the moving of the animals here. So now I'm going to get on the bike.
Is it okay if we throw up during this? Oh, no, I'm sorry.
I'm going to get on the bike here.
All right, Bob. All right, ladies and gentlemen. Who do I get to? I guess I'll be... Well, Jill St. John and Telly Savalas have both got...
If you sound dumb enough, you can be like...
I'm not Telly Savalas, but I'll play the part of a man who has been bald. But I have a toupee now.
Thank you, John Landecker. All right. This is going to be very quick now. This is going to be very quick. Hope to see you in a few minutes.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, it's the moment we've all been waiting for this afternoon. Bob is climbing on his motorcycle
now.
Ready
now for this?
All right, we're going to
set. All right, now I'm ready to leap over the tank here of the disco duck.
those guys.
Start it up, Bob.
Ladies and gentlemen, Bob's got to start up his motorcycle and now quickly fastens that leaping, lunging. He goes over and he.
Here, ladies and gentlemen, I can't. This is worse than the Hindenburg disaster, which was broadcast over the station many decades ago. Bob, are you there, Bob? Ladies and gentlemen, get those ducks off of him.
What a downer. Bob, the country. Bob, are you all right, Bob?
Can we have some medical assistance? Can we have the WLS doctor in here now?
I'd like the show to continue. Is my wife here? Oh, wait a minute.
Bob, you're not married yet. Bob, remember, we do have a ceremony with you jumping a stick.
I shouldn't have jumped without a helmet. I want you to continue. John, I'd like
Bob,
you
Bob,
and the
are
touch
you all
tones.
Right, Bob? You're bleeding. Bob, it's
I'd
coming.
Like,
Bob, your smooth countenance has now been destroyed.
I'd like you.
He is scarred, ladies and gentlemen.
And
no more telephones.
Touch tones to continue tonight, even though I won't be around to enjoy it. I'd like the show to go on. That's the way I want it. And I'd like Howard Cosell's report to go on as scheduled.
I'm going to have to finish this show for you, Bob. I'm going to have to, ladies and gentlemen, if we can have some medical assistance in here immediately, get the lady with the big lungs to come in with some mouth-to-mouth resuscitation. The same one who took off the Long Johns Friday. Bob, I don't know. That all of a sudden I'm thrust, ladies and gentlemen, into a substitute position here, filling in for Bob. We'll be playing a videotape of his accident later on for those of you who have paid to show up for the event. But first, if I could have your attention in there, Howard Cosell will be on the air in just a matter of minutes, and he's been viewing this activity from his vantage point at the other end of our network.
February 10th, the Erie Crown Theater comes alive.
That's all, folks.
Whoopa!
Well, I'll be wearing a
black armband during my program. And we'll be putting appropriate bunting up on the studio window.
1976, man. And the night before, John, you jumped over the Sharks because that's what Fonzie did on Happy Days.
That's right. We were zeitgeisting.
That's how we made a living back then.
That's right. The news is next from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on 720 WGN.
Yeah, that's us.
Oh, that's right. Here we are, two of the last DJs.
Yes, it is. It's John Landecker, Bob Surratt, the dumpster of memories. And we're saluting Ron Reilly.
Yes.
91 years old now. We talked to him last week. We want to play our conversation from a few years ago on the morning show.
Okay.
And again, Ron was the guy around here in the nighttime in the mid and late 60s, LS, and a little bit on CFL.
Notice how the nighttime guys are always the coolest. Just thought I'd throw that in there.
There was a time before streaming and cable TV, DVDs, VCRs, video games, computers, and iPhones that rock and roll radio was our number one source of entertainment growing up. And one of the most popular DJs back then was Ron Reilly.
Number one in Chicago at 66 degrees. A little later on in the program tonight, in my very prolific Italian, we will open the window and attempt to contact the Italian ship, the San Giorgio, moored in the Chicago River right across from our studio vantage point here. In the meantime, girls, if you're not doing anything tonight, come down and pick up an Italian sailor. There's some pretty good guys running around down there, and you should see they go through the girls like, whee! You wouldn't believe it. You wouldn't believe it. You would. They're American sailors just following after them in their wake, hoping there's some scraps left over. Those boys are movers, man. They're bot movers.
And any recollection of that bit, Ron?
Where'd you get that? I never realized I talked that fast.
It's Ron Reilly. There's a new documentary out, Reilly, about the life and career of Ron Reilly and his path to becoming one of the top radio disc jockeys in the country during the 60s. After all these years, how does that make you feel? They're doing a documentary about you.
I'm humbled and surprised. I can't imagine why they're doing that, but I guess they found a lot of stuff in my background. I hope it's the right stuff. You know, good to talk to you, Bob. Bye. And nice to be here. At least virtually in my hometown of Chicago.
You did a lot of television. We'll talk a little bit about what you did after you left Chicago radio, but. Why do people seem to get closer to the folks they hear on radio than the ones they see on television?
Good idea. Well, we have the music to go along with it, if it was radio, or in your case, it's the personality. I think it's how you can feel to the audience that's listening to you. You're just not a piece out there talking away and trying to sell something. So I think it's all the warmth and how you feel with the person that's on the air. I'll tell you, what's one of the things that was good about WLS when we were on the air? And I work with great guys, Clark Weber and Don Phillips and all, I have all the names of the people, and everybody was great. And the station just told us at the time, we said, hey, what do you want us to do? We have all this music. It's great. He said, be yourself. And I said, well, what is myself? He said, well, we'll tell you when you're not.
Yeah.
It was kind of that deal. But, the pop culture of the time really was the thing that made it. The Beatles jumped in there in 64. 1974 or so, and it just turned everything upside down. It really stimulated Chicago radio, Chicago groups as well. And there are so many great groups that popped up here in the city. Some of them still out working, like the Buckinghams are still touring. But the Beatles invasion was a real stimulus, you know.
What was your favorite memory of that time? What was the best part of being on Chicago radio then?
Bob, I'll tell you, the people and we, you know, we worked with and talked with were all great, and the people that we had around us. But the thing that made it happen for me, my high point was August 20th, 1965, Beatles at Comiskey. And I had a chance to go out there along with them. I forgot who was with me. I think it was Clark Weber. And we went out there and just got out in time. As a matter of fact, I see some WGN video once in a while, and I had a blue suit on, and I remember Ringo Starr was down in our day. He said, "Where'd you get that suit?" And I said, "Oh, you know, locally, I like it. You like it?" He said, "No." But they had at least 40, 50, and I saw right someplace today, 85,000 people at Comiskey at that time. But we stood out there and walked out on the stage, and I said, "Ladies and gentlemen," and that's, we didn't get any farther than that. Yeah, the roar was so great. When I talk about it, I can feel it right now.
You couldn't hear any of the music, could you? It was too loud with the crowd.
No, absolutely. Couldn't hear a thing, and nobody cared.
And as Ron just mentioned, one of his favorite memories, hosting the Beatles concert at Old Comiskey Park. Here's a little bit of a conversation Ron had on his nighttime show. Very big deal to place a transatlantic phone call to the Beatles. Here's Ron and John Lennon.
I think one of my favorite records by your group, John, is From Me to You. Do you play the harmonica in that?
Oh, yes. On our early records, I played a lot of harmonica. We dropped it a bit. You know, I kept forgetting to bring it to sessions and things.
You fellas really have a particular affection toward the jelly bean candy that everyone has been talking about here. Pardon?
We hate jelly beans. But when the story got over to America about them, we'd already told everybody in all our fan magazines and on TV, and said, please, no more jelly beans. We used to make them, but we had so many, we were sick.
I understand they threw them at you at the Kennedy Airport as a sign of affection.
Yeah, well, we enjoy that, you know, but we're going to try and tell them. It took us about 6 months to tell all our English fans, no more, please, you're knocking our eye out.
Yeah, well, you better not tell them you like Hershey bars or anything, as they're liable to start throwing those at you, and then you would be in trouble.
What's a Hershey bar?
Oh, a chocolate bar.
Oh, I see.
You know.
Sounds like a crowbar.
They're a little bigger than jelly beans, so I'm afraid they'd hurt more than the jelly beans.
Yeah.
No, not crowbars.
It's a nice thought. That's what matters, though, isn't it?
Hey, so the next morning, Ron, was there a headline in the Trib and the Sun-Times? Riley reveals Beatles actually hate jelly beans?
Yeah. Has the world changed or what?
A little bit. And now, you actually got Beatles records smuggled out of the factory in England. You drive out to O'Hare and pick them up from British Airways and play them first on the radio on your show, right?
Oh, I'm sorry. Somebody may get me for that. Yeah, we had a little arrangement with some people we knew, and Peter Aldersley, who was a DJ in the UK that I did some work with, and so they'd smuggle a few of them. We'd get them on the air first at LS, and all of a sudden, next day, cease and desist from a band of attorneys. And so, but at least we could say, hey, we did it first. Then we had to sit back and wait for it to be okay for playing in the U.S. It was kind of nutsoid, but lots of fun. It was the greatest time of my life. Would you mind if I just made mention of the fact that you mentioned the doc that they're doing, and I just want to thank a couple of people who are doing it right now. They're all graduates of SCAD, which is a college down in Savannah and Atlanta that teaches people, art, cinema, all kinds of things. And they become directors. Bradley Stahl and Francesco Polatori are ahead of what we're doing right now. And I just say they're working really hard on it. They're just graduates. They're just in college and out of college and just got their degrees. And it's going to be a labor of love, I guess, for them. And I'm going to help them see them through it anyway.
All the information is online. You can go to RileyDocumentary.com, RileyDocumentary.com. Hopefully before long here, we'll be able to watch the documentary about you and also about Dick Biondi that's been in the works for so long.
Yeah,
Pam Polis has been working very hard on that, and boy, Dick is a great friend of mine, and really the leader of the band that started the whole ball rolling in rock radio. And I hope this works out as well as it will.
And Ron, you actually had a chance to talk to Paul McCartney and Linda back when they were touring the United States. Did you talk about the old days? Did you remember anything about your encounters with him?
Well, I just had that one encounter, and that was later on. We were actually over at Redskins Park in Washington, D.C., and they just did a concert there. And as it happened, I was there, and they said, well, we're only taking two or three people, but he doesn't want to talk to a lot of people. He and Linda McCartney were there. And I said, well, you know, I'll be glad to do it, hand raised. And, yeah, okay, you're in. And nobody else showed up. So, you know, I sat there for about an hour and a half with him. For the life of me, that's, you know, like a lot of years ago, and I can't remember all we talked about, but, you know, some was really great and some was a lot of trivia.
Have a couple of messages from our listeners here, fans of yours who still have their Ron Reilly Batman Club cards. And you actually appeared on an episode of ABC's Batman starring Adam West. Tell us about that.
Oh, that was so funny. We were affiliated with ABC, and so they did it and decided that they were going to use me out there to be do a part in the show. And we flew out there, and they had a little trailer out there. And I remember they came out and put a star on it with my name on it and all of this kind of thing. And finally, I got in there to do my piece, and they dressed me up as a usher. And it was good. And the series was called, that particular one was called Ice Spy. And so I had my big word. I think there were seven or eight words I said. And it was, Mr. Wayne, you have a phone call in the foyer or something of that nature. And I walked in, and the director sent me back three times to make it right because I stumbled. And then I stumbled. My feet stumbled, and I fell forward. And it was really crazy. So it was quite an experience. And I went out to Los Angeles for about six words on TV. had a lot of feedback on it, though.
I bet. Another text for you from a listener to WGN. I'm excited to hear Ron Reilly. As a kid in grade school, I was glued to the AM radio. I listened to Ron, and it's a great memory for me. I especially remember his feud with Clark Weber and a character who knocked on the window during his show, if my memory is correct. That would be Bruce Lovely, right?
Yeah. Riley, come out the window! You know, that's the kind of stuff we're used to doing. Yeah, I just sent her through my voice against the window behind me, and we had a lot of fun.
And the answer to the question, whatever happened to Ron, you went to the Northeast, did television, weather in Washington and in Baltimore, right?
Yeah, that's correct. Yeah, I came out here and got away from radio as radio began changing a great deal. But there's still a lot of music to be had. But I got out in pretty much 1970 or so, and get fortunate enough to get into TV and spent a lot of years, 16 exactly, over in the D.C. area doing weather on the morning show on one of the channels. Mm.
And I can't tell you how much fun it is to hear your voice, hear how great you sound, and catch up with you, Ron. And we're looking forward to the documentary. Again, it's on RileyDocumentary.com. All the information is there. A documentary about the life and career of Ron Reilly and his path to becoming one of the top radio DJs in the country. Ron, continued good health to you. I hope when you're in Chicago, we have a chance to catch up in person.
Yeah, I think sometime this summer I'm going to get in to see friends. And thank you so very much, Bob. This guy is very kind of you to pull my chain here and get me going again, especially so early in the morning. Early for me, you know. I've been retired a couple of years now.
Yeah, early for me, too. All the best, Ron. Thanks again.
Thank you, my friend.
Take Bye-bye. Care. The morning we called Ron early, that was 4 years ago. Ron,
John Lennon, Paul McCartney, Belinda, it's amazing.
Reilly is 91
going out to L.A. and being on an episode of Batman.
That was now, big.
Oh, huge. Are you kidding?
Wow.
Huge.
Bang, zoom.
Zoom, pow. We'll take a break and come back on 720 WGN. Hey, I like that tune. That's cool.
Yeah, a little Brian Wilson.
There. All right, here are 720 WGN. It's Radio Geek Spark 2 with Bob Surratt, John Landecker, 312-981-7200. That's the text line. That's the phone line. Dave from Chicago, listening to this clip of you. Listening to this clip, you both sound the same now as you did during that time in the 70s.
Well, thank goodness your hearing isn't what it used to be.
WGN is magical and keeps the hosts young. Hallelujah! What stamina!
Number of people texting the question, is this going to be posted?
Yes.
And
well, it's got to be.
Control Room Jack, when will that happen on WGNRadio.com?
Pretty quickly after the show.
Yeah.
Oh, good.
Get it all up right there quick.
This has got to be tongue-in-cheek. 847, do you guys really actually like each other?
No.
No, of course not. They had to drag me in here tonight to be with them. I'm telling my wife.
There's a glass partition between us. Bulletproof.
And we're not allowed to make eye contact.
No. It's more from our dumpster of memories coming up before we leave at 10. You and I both idolized Ron Britton. And yeah, we're going to hear a little bit of his show.
You know, and I wonder if, how do I say this? I wonder if people really are going to get it. I don't know, because this is something that's between you and me. I mean,
you think you had to be there?
Maybe, but this is something really between you and me, as far as this Ron Britton is concerned, because, you know, you and I, if we hear just a certain note or him say one syllable in a certain way, we're like, oh, man.
Yeah, but I think you get his theater of the mind.
I got to tell you something. We're going to play Ron Britton a little bit later, and it's very chaotic and crazy and nuts. And I was working at a little radio station over in Wyoming, Michigan. And I went on the air, and I was trying to do a Ron Britton imitation and be all crazy and everything. And after the show was over, my program director says, I hope your next employer didn't hear that show.
I don't know if anybody ever came close to imitating Ron Britton.
Never.
It was a wall of sound.
You know, and I'm drawing a blank here, and I really should apologize. I can't remember his board ops name. The guy that was with him was over at WJMK, was there, was with Ron Britton, and he was, I'm so sorry I can't recall his name. He was a great guy. And he was the guy, I thought I had met, like, one of the, I said, you what? He threw all these sounds, noises, drop-ins, as we call them, at Britton without telling him what they were, and Britton would respond to him, and I'm like, wow, that's, I've reached the pinnacle of radio.
Right, he reacted to the sounds.
He reacted to the sounds, yeah.
One of the funniest things I ever heard was Ron was off one night, and Jim Stagg did his show, or maybe it was just an hour of his show or something. Maybe Ron came in late, and Ron's engineer threw the wall of sound at Jim Stagg.
Stagg's like, what?
It's pretty good. You know what? I'll remember his name during the news.
Al.
Yes.
Al something.
Yes.
Right?
Uh-huh.
Abransky, Al something like that?
Al Urbanski.
Al Urbanski. He's the man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
An unsung hero of the old WCFL, for sure.
In charge of giving inspiration to Ron Britton at 9 million miles an hour.
We'll let you hear a little of what we're talking about in our next half hour.
Yeah. And I hope that I hope everybody likes it, because Bob and I do, and we're in charge of this show, and we're geeks, so there you go.
We hope you are, too. Are we coming back, do you think? There's a chance we're coming back after the news, right?
Oh, definitely. And, you know, we're also getting, and it doesn't surprise me. Are you going to do it again? When are you guys going to do it again?
Oh, yeah, a lot of texts about that. Well, we got to finish this show first at 10.
When are you going to do it again? I hope this Radio Geek show will be available to re-listen to it. Thank you so much for presenting it. Here's my favorite. Bob went, oh, my God. 708. My 99 3/4-year-old neighbor, Josephine, is listening and enjoying For Radio Geeks Only with Bob Surratt and John Landecker so much tonight. There you go. Bottom of the hour, time to get into the WGN newsroom.
I hope not a lot of people are planning on going to those events that Ron Britton listed.
Oh, that was another thing. I was counting. There were at least 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. There were 6 or 7 appearances being made by the jocks at CFL announced in that one bit by Britain going on at 9 million miles an hour. This Tuesday, I'm figuring, you see Ron Britton is right there. Then Ron Britton over at the Mother's on in division. And tomorrow, you know, it's like.
Clark Weber used to tell the story about he had so many offers to MC events and do record hops. He was a pilot, and he had a small plane, and he would fly to the hops so he could do five or six a night all over the Midwest.
I heard about that. You know, we've been getting some great comments and great texts, and I saved this comment from on Facebook. It's from Kathy Coots. This is before we got on the air tonight. I cannot wait. Love these two geeks. These older guys will always be my favorites on WGN. Thank you.
We haven't gotten into the music too much here, but I want to mention something about the teen clubs. Remember the teen clubs around here, like the Cellar in Arlington Heights? Yeah. Now, the Cellar was really a special place because, believe it or not, the Who, Cream, the Yardbirds, Buffalo Springfield, the Birds all performed at the Cellar in Arlington Heights. And now there's an album that's coming out next month with songs from the local bands who played there.
Now, wait. Yeah. That were recorded at the place or these?
One was recorded there. The others they found. And
oh, so I mean, these are like old tapes.
Yeah.
Exactly. What is this?
It's going to be out in September,
and
it's called Lost Gems from the 60s Garage Band Explosion.
Oh, man.
And we're going to talk to the guy who has put this together and get into the history of the Cellar on the morning show. Monday at 8:40, we'll do that.
Does he have a list of the bands?
Yes.
Like who?
Like the Mods.
The Mods! I heard Ron Britton... The Mods,
the Amboy Dukes.
Wait a minute, the Amboy Dukes. They're from. I thought they were from Michigan.
Well, local. Okay, Midwest.
Wait a minute, aren't the Amboy Dukes or Ted Nugent?
Well, Ted Nugent was part of that.
Journey to the Center of the Mind.
Yeah, he played. He played at the Cellar. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and maybe if we do another for Radio Geeks Only, we should get into. More of the music and some of the people responsible. And, the Wild Goose, what was it? The Blue Village,
I don't know.
Green Gorilla.
You know, and we can also we can talk about the music and also all the really bad music that was around at that time. And how
we played it all.
And what a battle it was, I'll tell you.
Yeah, you should have heard John in the staff meetings.
Oh, man.
And how about the news people? I mean,
yes,
there were
Lyle
some legendary
Dean.
Folks.
Come on, Les Grobstein. How about it?
Wish we could have Les back.
Yeah.
Fred Winston from our era.
Right.
We'll get him on if we do this again.
If we're lucky.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I mean, if we're lucky, we do this again, or if we're lucky, we get Fred.
I would say both.
Yeah.
Now that you mention it. Fred, if you're hearing this, love you. We don't have any time. We don't know if we're coming back on again with this.
No, we don't.
No, we don't.
Oh, just ask, will you?
See, I knew he'd get in here sooner or later. Okay.
Yeah, and we always think of Larry Lujak when we are going back to the day. And you know, I remember his first night on the air in Chicago.
What?
He was originally the all-night man at WCFL.
Right.
And I was a page at NBC. This had to be, I want to say, around, I think I was a senior in high school. It may have been 1967. And I was working 4 to midnight. And on the way home, I was excited because this new guy was coming on the radio.
Yeah.
So I turned Larry on at midnight on WCFL. I wish I had a tape of it. But after all these years, I can remember his first words because it was so revolutionary. He said, "My name is Larry Lujak. I'm working from midnight to 5 a.m. You may wonder why I'm on the all-night show. That's because management here doesn't think I'm good enough to be on in the daytime." And I heard this and thought, whoa.
Yeah. You know, we also haven't commented on the fact that there were quite a few air personalities that went back and forth.
Oh, sure.
Went back just across the river. You had the Marina City with CFL, and you had LS, the Stone Container Building. My God, you just jump across the river back and forth. Lujak worked, twice at CFL and twice at LS.
Right? Weber was at
Weber,
CFL.
Yeah. Chuck Knapp. Didn't he do that?
And Ron Reilly.
Oh, I got to tell the story. Do I got the time to tell the story? What time? All right.
Wait a minute. Let's tell our affiliates along the line on the network we're going to be going till midnight tonight. Oh, sorry. There are no affiliates.
That's okay. Okay, so WLS was on the fifth floor of the Stone Container Building, and there was a ledge on the outside of the building that was, you know, concrete, whatever. And, no, I guess I'm getting this wrong. No. Chuck Knapp was allegedly fired for walking on the ledge. Then he went over to CFL, and somehow he came back. This may not be true at all.
Well, I think the texter kind of has the story almost right.
But then, okay, so allegedly he comes back.
Allegedly. Very good.
I find out that he's in John Guerin's office.
The program director.
Right. So I went out on the ledge, and I come around and go, "Hey, how's everybody doing in there?"
The story I heard was that somebody was spying on another office.
Oh, yeah. Espionage. Radio espionage.
And they got fired for that.
Well, that would do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Those are the happy days of radio that we've been talking about.
Well, you know, we said in the Radio Geeks thing that that's part of the deal. I mean, those are some of the stories that we were going to tell. Mm-hmm. Would be stories that no one ever heard of. People getting fired. People using the rug underneath the conference room table for a variety of...
Where was I when this was going on?
Activities.
I never had any fun. You guys on in the nighttime had all the fun. Because in the daytime, there were many people in the office.
Too many. Too many. Well, you know what? That does it. We're done.
That's just like that.
All right. Thank you for listening.